This isn't something.
This is James.
And this is KJ.
And this is Adam.
And we are in Impending Lies, and you're listening to today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland.
Woohoo! All right, thank you. You're going to try and dick punch him during it? All right, guys, thanks a lot, man.
Thank you for tuning into this week's edition of today's Boondoggle. Domain Cleveland Entertainment is a veteran-owned and operated entertainment cornucopia of nonsensical shenanigans. You can find interesting interviews, music news, entertainment information, and just about everything else in between. Thank you again for tuning into the show here at Domain Cleveland.
You're listening to today's Boondoggle with your host, the one and only Bill Bailey, on Domain Cleveland Radio.
What's going on, everybody? It's Bill Bailey with today's Boondoggle on Domain Cleveland Radio. Once again, reunited, and it feels so good with my sidekick, Flo White.
Yeah.
In
each other's auras.
Yeah. I mean, yours is glowing. Or no, that's that outfit you bought for the video behind
In
your background.
I'm not wearing it now. The pants are actually kind of tight.
Yeah.
It doesn't allow me to do this.
Doesn't let you do the can't touch
the
splits. MC Hammer
dance?
Yeah,
I can't do the splits.
Man, I can't wait for when we get this video recorded so our virtual audience can actually like visualize and see.
Yeah.
You know? Got a lot of things in the works, but good to get back together. I know one thing we wanted to definitely talk about, and let's get right into that, is a special segment, additional material.
We're doing a special segment today?
Well, not today. We're going to introduce it and talk
about
it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The Monday Night Jack.
The Monday Night Jack, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I've got to hear some of the episodes that you've recorded already so far. And it is...
it's done here at the Florence Whitingale Studios, as a matter of fact, where we're recording now.
Where we're at right
now.
Yes. It's very informative. What's your co-host's name?
Brian.
Okay.
Brian. His name's Brian.
Brian. All right.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if he was coming up with an alias or something.
Yeah.
Like
no, he's been he's become a very good friend of mine over the past, I'd say, maybe 15 to almost 20 years.
Yeah.
And I had been going to Jack. I had been going to Jack probably ever since 1990 at least. And
I remember we talked about it previously, how... when you were still living over there in the Coventry area and all that, and you were trying to get everybody to go, hey, come on, come to my
Lock
class.
Yeah, nobody would go. Nobody would go. And that had to have been 88, 89 or not. It couldn't have been 88 because I had graduated high school. So it was probably 1989 or 1990 that I'd been going to him. And I was fascinated by it. You know, and a lot of what he was cool is different ways of which he kind of interpreted the Bible. You know, I was always dragged to church as a young'un when we lived in Alabama.
Yeah, now that's the stuff I would definitely be interested in hearing his take on that. I don't think we went over that during the classes I attended with you later on, which was, I mean, we didn't meet till late 2000s or whatever. But
yeah.
Well, not late 2000, but you know, anyway, the Sig nature and all the other stuff that we've discussed previously, you learned that from those classes. And the one I started attending some of those with you, it was just like, dude, it was just too much for me.
He's really been advanced, you know, it's, he's been doing it. He did it for 40 years until he passed away last year.
Yeah.
Last fall. So, 2019.
Now, you know, explain for our listeners too. Then, so you started attending those classes. Now, Jack, was Jack ever there physically?
No. Oh yeah.
Oh, he was.
Yeah, he was there, and it was always being recorded by Caleb, and it was hosted on the corners of Route 82 and 83 out there in Eaton Township.
Okay.
And we were actually able to use a building that was controlled or owned by the sheriff. Department of Eaton or wherever.
Okay.
And they allowed us to meet up on the second floor of this one big building. It's still there today.
And this was in '90s when you first started going. It's always been in that place.
No, and then there's another like community building, which is more of like a house that has a large open room. And because the group got smaller over the years, we moved over there on the same corner lot, sort of. Yeah. In that acre, there were several buildings. So there was another house, like I said, that we started using. It was more of a house. And then actually, the meetings were actually first at Shoney's Big Boy out at the big mall, Great Lakes Mall out there.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Midway? Was that Midway Mall out there in Lorain County? Is that
No. Great Northern Mall.
Great Northern.
Really? Yeah, out there off of 480.
Dude,
there.
Yeah, that's the right time I shit, man.
Yeah. And so I would go there with all my hot girlfriends.
Yeah.
You know, not all at once, but I'd bring a few of them around, you know. But it really sucked at Shoney's Big Boy because if you didn't sit close, you didn't hear anything.
Yeah.
And so then they moved to the sheriff's house or the sheriff's building. And then a few years later, they moved to the one. Like it was more of like a community house.
Were supportive of that information, you know.
I don't want to say they were supportive, but they left us alone.
Yeah, they let you use a building.
Yeah,
you know, so
It wasn't like a normal building. It was like more of like a. The upstairs was completely empty. It was almost like a really well-made like pole barn. I won't say pole, not as crude. Not as rustic as you would
maybe
think.
Maybe they were like, they volunteered the space because they had plants. You know, they had you know, stuff.
Well, hey, these guys, we created a common law court back in 93.
Okay.
In 94 when I was going through all my federal shit. And that was hosted out on the east side at Euclid, at the Euclid, some Euclid school that would rent out their rooms. I think it was an old school in Euclid.
Okay.
And we were investigated by cops at the time. And I was a bicycle messenger. This is a good story.
All right.
I was a bicycle messenger when I was going through all my federal case and shit.
Yeah.
And up until it aired on the local news that, you know, a local group in Cleveland, you know, they're this militia group, this revolutionary group, this common law group. These are a bunch of wackos, you know.
Yeah. So the fake news back then.
Well, these guys were coming there. And they were filming us and trying to get something on us that we were breaking the law.
But you were actually teaching the real law.
Yeah. And so we had this common law court thing going, you know. And at one time I was the treasurer. Very proud of that position. But with all the stuff that I was going through legally, I told him I was going through too much stress. And my ex, who was soon to be the mother of my son, hated me going to that class or to that group.
Yeah.
So regardless, these two guys would come to the meeting. And if you ever go into some place where you're worried about people spying on you, especially if it's like a patriotic type of group, you know, beware of the guy that's like dressed up in like camo and shit.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Camo t-shirt, like camo hat. Hard. Like he was trying, way too like hard. And I became
Jimmy
friends
Militia.
With this guy.
Yeah,
gave
yeah.
him my card and everything, if I even had a card back then. He had my number, you know what I mean?
So you didn't know back then?
No, I didn't know. Yeah, but this was over like a year's time that they were investigating us, you know? And
so happens I'm wearing my camo shorts.
Yeah,
right
so
now,
I became good friends with this guy. But it all clicked after... It aired on TV that we were, you know, because they had us on all the local news channels and shit, you
and
know.
They were using your quotes?
No, I wasn't in any of the film. I don't think I made it that night, but I was told that they saw the camera in the guy's legal briefcase and ran him out. And that's when they broke with the story because they couldn't come back anymore, you know.
Oh, so it was like a spy camera hidden in the briefcase and mm-hmm. cut out the side or whatever?
Yes.
I got to set my briefcase here in the corner.
Now, let me remind you, this is before the camera technology we have today.
Yeah.
This was over 2 decades ago. This was 3 decades ago. I was like 19, 20 years old, you know.
This was like some Get Smart, Maxwell Smart shit.
right. And so anyways, I was a bicycle messenger. And it always occurred when I was down by the Justice Center. I'd see this dude. And he'd have on like a 4-piece suit. And he'd be looking at me. And I'd be looking at him.
You're like, that looks like.
And I could never, I feel like such an idiot because I never put two and two together until after the fact, but it was him.
Yeah.
It was that guy in the camo.
So he's probably that like, was, man, this guy's going to, he knows me. My cover's blown or whatever, but he's like, oh, he's just friggin' stuck.
Right.
You can remember.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, that was some good shit back then, man.
Yeah,
good
man,
shit, dude. And see, I was on probation at the time because I had just gotten back out of my little vacation, you know, and I was back on probation. I did the quiet title. So I was on probation. I got out of probation for 6 months. 6 months went by and I did the quiet title during those 6 months. And then I stopped showing up at probation, you know. I don't want to get into that. That's a whole nother story. That's a whole nother episode, but it's a great story. I should really like try to write a book or something.
Or at least write some of these like topics down so when we get together, we know, okay, I'm going to focus on this one.
Yeah.
But, you know, that might help. I don't know. But so Jack was actually there teaching when you started going. Because I think when I went, we were listening to a recording. We would listen to some recordings when you guys took me. And this was at the Amish Swings and Things. I don't think Jack was really there. I don't think I've ever met Jack. But I went to a couple of those things. And like you said, and you shared that one story about your one friend, which the audience will hear when these episodes start coming out. You and Brian took one buddy, and then he didn't like how Jack, you know, came back at him with something. He questioned him and he got mad.
You're talking about my friend here in town. I said, you should come to the meetings. I've been telling him for a long time, but he didn't really, he came there and he's more of college educated. I mean, I'm not knocking college, but you know.
Yeah, but we discussed the knowledge and.
Yeah, you know, and he kept
wisdom.
he kept taking over the mic. In a sense, kind of going off topic and dealing with shit, because at that time there was a lot. They had a lot of people getting MP3s.
Yeah,
Caleb probably had about 5,000 people all over the planet that got that MP3 from Jack.
Yeah, I remember you sent me a couple.
Yeah,
before.
And so, even though there wasn't anybody at Jack's meetings towards the end, there was hundreds or thousands listening to his weekly MP3s. You know.
Yeah,
and they were called the Monday Night. We were called Monday Night Jack because at the very beginning, it went for years on Monday Night.
Yeah,
and then it switched over time, but they kept calling it the Monday Night, even though it might be hosted on a Wednesday or a Thursday.
Yeah,
but
so I remember, you know, I went to a couple of those with you, and like I said, man, it was just blown out my mind. Just wherever I was then, I couldn't. But that's why it's like you need to attend it like a regular class to start.
Oh yeah
breaking through. And
I feel very fortunate.
I mean
I've got a hell of an education. I didn't go to college, but yet I went to school.
Yeah,
you know. And so a lot of the shit that we learned, a lot of people in the Patriot movement are learning now.
Yeah,
you know, we learned that shit years ago.
Yeah, so you're,
you know,
ahead of the game,
sort of. Yes, and but in a way, there's a lot when I learn something new. Well, at the point it's kind of like what Brian said. We've gotten to the end point. We know where the money comes from. We know how to get our remedy. We know how to do notices to government, local government, state government, all their parties that need to be noticed, and do administrative procedures, and then make public notice of those private procedures, like at the Secretary of State's, or filing them downtown in a miscellaneous filing. So there's a record that you've stated a claim. So whenever the FEMA comes at your door, you say, no, motherfucker, you know, I was guaranteed a Republican form of government. Now, whether they listen to you or not, you know, in the time of emergency, but I will say this, that the government always does it right. And if you got your proper papers, what do they always want? Your papers.
Yeah.
Let me see your papers. And if you got papers that show that these guys, you gave everybody notice and they all agreed through tacit consent, you did everything properly. You know what I mean? You might have even gone so far to have a hearing and have a judge rule in a chance, not a judge, a chancellor rule in a chancery equity court for you.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And have that. And who knows? Let's say if you did enough procedures to make your property allodial to some extent off the county register, okay? And you'd set up private agreements to still get the trash and the water and the electric, but everything's being paid through your birth certificate. Who's to say in the time of something like that, FEMA doesn't even come to your house, but they get everybody else?
Yeah, you're sitting here watching on your front porch.
Right.
You know?
And, you know, I gotta get that American flag, dude, that peacetime, civil peacetime flag. It's just like the American flag, but it's just different colored and a different thing.
Yeah.
You know, the stripes are different colored, and let everybody know, let the cops know, hey, man, I'm at peace. I'm not an enemy of the state. And that's one of the things that Brian, you know, in 1933, with the Trading with the Enemy Act and the National Bankruptcy Act of 1933. They all both happen around the same time. We know that the U.S. citizen persons became enemies of the state. And I was going somewhere with this. So every year, Congress re-votes in a state of emergency. I used to have a book. When I went to my vacation, my federally funded vacation, that I realized after this whole time I paid for the whole thing and they were making money for me, because Jack taught us that, you know, a prison is a bank. They're holding the slaves, and slaves got value.
Ooh.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's what your birth certificate's all about. It's a certificate that said that you funded the government. So if you funded the government, why do you have to pay for a victimless crime? But regardless, the Congress is supposed to vote every year if we're in a state of emergency or if we're out of a state of emergency. And if that finally comes to pass, maybe Trump, after he wins this election and more of all the debts are cleared up and we go into this global economic, this currency reset thing, and we get pegged to gold, maybe, who's to say, and we get rid of that Emergency Act stemming all the way from 33, which goes all the way back to the Civil War, because Brian is correct. Civil War never ended.
Yeah.
And we see those gold fringe military flags that hang behind the president turn to maybe the civil peacetime flag. You know, I was going through part of my silver collection, and I got two Trump coins, 2 ounce coins, and on one of them it says world peace.
Oh, yeah.
And under Nasara and Gasara, there had to be world peace. See, in a true republic, there's no war. In a democracy, we came into this whole democracy all because of military conflict that all stemmed back to a debt. And that debt can be viewed at the Avalon Project, hosted by Yale University, where you can go there and you can log in or whatever, and you can see all these ancient international national contracts, and you can find the contract between the King of England and the 13 colonies where we borrowed like 18 million livre or whatever, French money.
Yeah.
Ben Franklin did all that. And that's when we had to have a constitution, because a constitution means you need means there's a constitutor, and a constitutor is the one that is the surety to pay back the debt. So the colony says, yeah, we'll be constitutors. We'll call this thing a constitution. We'll go for 70 years and see how it goes.
Now, if we got to the place where with world peace, what's so bad about that? I mean, I guess, you know, like the deep state, you know, why they always want to keep us in war, why they want to always keep, you know, people are just like, They got their con going, and they don't want their con being exposed, and it's so slowly being exposed.
That's a tough question to answer, man.
Because, I mean, geez.
You know, I mean, the military-industrial complex that was warned about when Eisenhower lost control of and he left office, he gave that famous speech.
Yeah.
You know, the deep state runs deep.
Yeah. But it's just like, I mean, if everybody, that would be like utopia. You know,
mm-hmm.
If we could get back to that, and
well, that's what some of the videos that me and Brian touched upon. The videos, and I forgive me again. It's Pimpy's something chat.
Okay.
Chat room chat or something.
Yeah,
it's on YouTube.
One.
It's Pimpy's something chat. And he shows you that even though this Nasara thing on Wikipedia, if you look it up, it says it was a conspiracy.
Ooh, yeah.
We were hitting towards something
that's truth. It's labeled a conspiracy.
Right. We were hitting on this back 10 years ago with the Saturday and the Wednesday SPC classes. out on the east side. But to see this guy on these videos go over it and go over all the different things and pointing out, look, this is happening right now. Look, this is happening right now. Look, this is starting to happen. Look, they're talking about this, you know, and it's happening. And it goes back to the philosophy of, once again, a Monday night Jack Smith. Jack Smith would always say, it's not what they say, it's what they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean.
Trump says, we're making a vaccine. We'll have a vaccine by the end of the year. And then everybody freaks out over those 2 days after. Well, Trump's forcing everybody to get us on a vaccine.
They got him.
He's part of this shit. And then he comes out in public on the next few days. He says,
if you want one.
If you want one. Now, Obama said you didn't have to get Obamacare.
Hell yeah, but you get taxed.
Right.
Yeah.
So let's see how that goes. But, yeah, it's deep, man.
So, you know, back with Monday Night Jack, you know, as it went on, like, it grew when you had the MP3s and whatever, but you were going.
No, we had cassette tapes back then.
You and Brian.
There was no, I did not know Brian back then. So it was just cassette tapes, and it was lonely. I'd go there, say hi to people that always thought, a lot of times they thought I was a narc.
Yeah.
Okay, because who's this young weirdo coming here?
That just got out of the federally.
And that's true, too. There was a lot of talk about that. As a matter of fact, when we started learning about the UCC, there was a guy down in Canton that, forgive me, that's my phone. There was a guy down in Canton.
It's them right now. They're listening.
Yeah, they're calling me up. Yeah. The Vatican.
There was a guy, him and his buddy came in one Monday night, and they talked about filing UCCs, and I really wanted to do it. And that's the thing I warn a lot of patriots when they come into this paperwork. You know, if you file all this paperwork, you'll be free. Don't do it. Sit back, have a few, smoke whatever you got to smoke, and meditate heavily on the information.
Yeah.
But anyways.
You have to have your eyes, you know.
It's more important to understand it verbally in your mind so you can explain it to a T than rely on somebody else's paperwork to explain it to somebody else. Because you're going to be questioned sooner or later by a judge, and he's going to want to know what's going on with your shit.
Like, I don't know, read the paperwork.
And depending on what you did out there in the world of commerce, you could have probably blown yourself up. And I've seen it 100 times.
Yeah. So, I mean, everything's got to be done to the T, and you have to know, you have to have the knowledge, you know, studied enough that you can learn how to verbally.
Right, so there were these silver bullets would come around like once every 6 months, once every year, a new process, a new technology on how to claim your rights, and people would sell shit. Still gurus out there saying, you know, they want to charge you a monthly fee or something to come to their seminar. And in some respects, you do have to charge it if you're going to host it at a hotel or something. You know, $300 for 3 days and you get an MP3 and videos. If you can, you know, that's reasonable. But some people were charging thousands of dollars. But there was a gentleman down in Canton, like I was saying, that came to the meeting and we're talking about UCCs, and this had to be like 90, in the late 90s. Right. And I went down there and we did a UCC. But when I went down there on the first meeting, he said, you know, I talked to Caleb. Caleb asked me if it was all right if you could have my number. And somebody told him to beware of you because you might be a narc.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I've heard it a lot.
And then yeah. It didn't help your case when you became buddies with the guy that was. You know, in there.
Who? What are you talking about?
Remember Mr. Camouflage guy?
Oh, yeah. Well, that probably, all that stuff probably happened. No.
They're probably looking at you. I don't remember. Like, this guy's buddies with him. Yeah. They're talking. You know, he must be.
It had to have been, like I said, the late 90s, I started dealing with that guy. It was after the common law group went into oblivion.
So when did you and, I mean. And
so Brian came around probably around 2000.
Okay.
When I started doing the flow, or a little after the Flow White, after I had done one or two albums, he started coming to the meetings. I said, man, you know, he's my age, you know. Yeah. Wonder if he puffs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe we can go out and talk.
You don't think I'm a narc. I got a friend.
Yeah, and maybe I can make friends with somebody my age, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And I met him, and it's been a blessing ever since, you know? If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have beat my credit card case.
He picked up. Well, so he was knowledgeable about a lot of this before he started attending, too?
Yes and no. He listened to a bunch of jack shit and researched a lot of all that stuff before and after listening to jack stuff, and come to the conclusion, damn, this shit's probably pretty much right on, you know. And then he started coming.
Okay, and so then you guys ended up becoming friends.
Yeah,
been friends since.
And we can go down. We used to go down to the law library at Cleveland State and go through things. And you know, he was really hip to Title 50 or USC and going over the record and the notes of like what happened during the bankruptcy of 33 and how everything was, all the people were mortgaged at that point.
Ooh. So like basically human trafficking has been going on since.
That's, yeah. And Brian brought up human trafficking at towards the end of our talk. Did he or did he not? I think he did.
And I don't want to take too much from that because
yeah.
We'll be playing those later. I just wanted to kind of like briefly touch on the segment that we'll be having coming up with Monday Night Jack and how it just started, to give people kind of like an intro.
Well, we've got two of them now.
Yeah.
So you might want to send them both out back to back, but they're both a little over an hour long. I don't know how you want to do it.
Yeah, I'll figure it out. They're going to be special editions.
Because that's the thing with Brian. I want him to start.
I'm not going
to
have them like numbered as a boondoggle. Like, there'll be a boondoggle special edition and whatever. So that way I can send them out. Because that makes things easier. Because I try and, like, numerically, you know, each episode with their own thing. And these will just be, like, special editions. Or like,
well, you know, I would really like, because I'd like to try to do another A for V, an acceptance for value on a bill or something.
Okay.
But I don't really have any bills. I don't have a credit card. Maybe I should get another credit card and run it up again. And do an A for V. And I'd like to go over procedures with him and talk about trust, because that's what me and him have been trying to, not much so procedure, but the big talk lately before Jack passed was getting these private trusts together. But that entailed collapsing and controlling and marshaling all the accounts that your birth certificate is under.
Yeah, see,
and it's just a lot of shit,
it's
man.
A lot of paperwork,
right?
And a lot of,
and then
have to,
and
have
then
it
the,
like signed,
right? And then the question is, okay, this is where I've come in my understanding, because I haven't done a lot of paperwork in a long. Ever since that credit card case, it took so much time and effort. It was nice to have a weekend off, because for about 2 or 3 years, you ask any of my friends, I couldn't. I was busy fucking typing responses, responding to all these fucking people. Pardon me, all these people saying that I'm some debtor in their claim. But I forgot where I was going with this. What was I saying, dude?
About the credit card thing.
Right. You know, maybe run up an. I want to get. So that's it with Brian. I'm like, Brian. But he wants to give all this background.
Well, first, I should explain this. I should explain that.
Well,
like,
that's good. It's good.
Yeah.
You got to build. I mean,
I know.
Right now, our audience is probably, their heads are spinning right
sure.
now.
Sure, yeah.
Because I like Brian's background and everything. I was thinking, I don't know, it'll be something. I'll definitely want to talk to Brian off the show sometime myself, and then I'll mention to you. We'll talk about it off the air. Let's start getting into
topics.
I just wanted to kind of give everybody an intro about the special segments that are going to be coming up that involve, you know, you and Brian having these conversations.
What'll happen is he'll call me.
All right.
And now I've gotten in the habit of asking him, is this going to be one of these conversations that we should be recording?
Yeah.
And I got in the habit of saying that about a month ago. And finally got his ass over here. So I'm thinking what we should all do is maybe bring him in once a month, and maybe me and him keep doing the Monday nights, keep featuring him or something.
Yeah,
well,
yeah,
we
yeah.
Could, I guess it's something we want to talk about.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
Right.
So, yeah. So, anyway, the Monday Night Jack's going to be a special additional episode that's going to be bonus tracks or whatever. That's going to be coming up soon.
And let me just interject. I want to say something. And I hope I'm not spoiling it or throwing an onion in the broth. No. But I think it's important for veterans, especially, to understand the history, more the history of the country, you know. And I know you want to appeal to the veteran audience out there, you know.
Definitely.
You know, the law of flags. How many military understand the law of flags? If a flag is flown this way, it means this.
Like,
you know,
I was in the Navy and we flew all kinds of flags.
But those mainly for ships, signaling and though.
For signaling and stuff, but I still don't even know all of them and what they all stood for because I wasn't a signalman. It wasn't my rate. You know, and when I was in, I was just too busy like, hey, let's go to port and, you know, sleep with whoever.
It's very interesting. Women. Me and him had a conversation today, and I'll try to end it with this. He said, you know, for the past 200 some odd years, we've never really had a government. We've only had a corporation posing as a government. And he's absolutely right.
And that's why, I don't know if it was, I think it maybe it was, you know, and then this will be your one of your guys' episodes coming up that I was listening to yesterday, but how it's perfect who we got somebody in now that knows how a corporation's supposed to be ran. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody else has just been a puppet playing the game of somebody else. And now
I believe that's something he mentioned on the audio.
Yeah.
So, Trump was probably the best pick to handle the job of this transition right now.
Yeah. So, I mean, it just gave me, listening to it, it was just like listening to our buddy in X-22 report. You know, it's like I'd rather, because there's so many like scary other ways we could go with where everything's going right now. And it's either way, I have no control over it. And like our boy Crazy and them, you know, we got to put faith in God and trust him with all this, because either you'll get ill and stressed and depressed if you listen to the negative stuff, you know, or you maybe you'll get like too excited because you're expecting all this positive stuff to happen, and it may not happen. So I'd rather be in a place of just like, I just got to trust God, you know, like our other boy from Just Informed Talk, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway, I wanted to go over that, introduce that. Let's talk about what we were just talking about before it started. How about, you know, what happened with this Chinese ambassador?
Well, I don't know much, but it happened in Israel.
Yeah, he's the Chinese ambassador to Israel, and found dead. That was just this morning, right? That news came out.
No, that was yesterday or something.
Yesterday, okay. And I mean, did they even say like, you know, what cause of death looked like or anything yet?
I'm not sure, but that also came out with the news of either the Roman or the Italian parliament. A member did a 7-minute speech declaring the arrest of Bill Gates and his cronies, dude.
Yeah.
Now, I got something to say about that.
Yeah, and which is, you know, I mean, President Trump's got a great relationship with Italy. Right? Doesn't he?
I would think that China, up until now, had a better relationship with Italy.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, because all of northern Italy is become the garment district for China.
Okay.
The Chinese came in, and there's probably about 200,000 Chinese living in the northern part of Italy, I believe. And, you know, when you heard all the stuff about the Chinese coming in and taking over the textiles or taking over the clothing industry, and, you know, the Chinese clothing is cheapened somewhat because of it. I'm not too hip to it, but I'm familiar with it. And they were hooked up with this One Belt, One Road. I believe they're doing the whole Huawei thing with them.
Okay. And that was, and that's the company that we're not allowing in the United States, right? The telecommunications.
That was Nortel of Canada before they robbed, replicated, and replaced them. They broke into the IP information of that company. Nortel was China's, or not China, but Nortel was a huge communication company. It was one of Canada's biggest communication companies, and basically China robbed them, replicated their product, and Nortel went bankrupt, and they purchased them, and now we have Huawei.
So China isn't just like invading and stealing
our They're doing
secrets.
It to everybody.
They're doing it to everybody.
Yes.
And it's being exposed, and it's like
right.
It's going to be everybody.
How about the Case
China?
Western Reserve professor on May 13th?
The Case Western Reserve professor, and then to find out he was a doctor at the Cleveland Clinic as well. He was involved with the Cleveland
Something
Clinic.
To do with hearts. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something
yeah.
to do with heart technology. Yeah.
I mean, you know, we've heard about the ones from the universities, you know, across
right.
the
Harvard.
Country. Yeah, yeah.
And then some other Atlanta, some Georgia University or like something. Arkansas.
We mentioned in the Chinese Corona song. You know?
What's that? What are we in Chinese?
The one lyric is like, yeah. We got our spies in your university.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. Our spies are in.
But here it is. China's ambassador to Israel, Du Wei, has been found dead in his apartment north of Tel Aviv. An Israeli official told blah, 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 blah. He was 57, appointed ambassador in February, having previously served envoy to Ukraine. He was married, had a son. His family has still to join him in Israel. He was living in, I don't know how to pronounce that, 10 kilometers from north of Tel Aviv. Reuters knew as part of the regular procedure, police units are at the scene.
But there's no updates on
I don't think there's any updates to how or... But it's just pretty interesting. Oh, when he arrived in Israel, he self-isolated. On 15th, he immediately self-isolated for 2 weeks because of corona restrictions.
So they're not saying
he's being made the world scapegoat in history. Once other, you know, China's saying everybody's racist and everything.
Yeah, yeah. Although, I mean, they're some of the most racist people too. When you see like how they treat blacks in their country.
Yeah, they threw out all those black people from Nigeria or something out of their hotels or out of their apartments.
So something fishy, you know, looks like with this. Ambassador's death in Israel.
Well, who knows? Could have been natural.
Yeah, I guess, you know.
He could have shot himself in the head with a nail gun twice.
Yeah. You know? But, so we have that. We got Bill Gates.
I mean, I think that's great, you know? And like I said, I think
the
it's
more
like
people that wake up to Bill Gates, the Gates Foundation, you know, especially in America right now, they need to be paying attention when all this fear is like of having to take a vaccination. You know, so many people, I think, are so tired of. I've seen it with our own social media and friends of our own friends, like they're so willing to be. Oh, come on. You know, what's a vaccination? It's going to protect us. So, you know, people don't get it. You know, they're so willing to just give up freedom for, you know. The ability to move around or whatever, and it scares me because what's in this vaccination? I'm glad like people like Greg are exposing these bills, like the HR 6666, and you know Bill Gates's ID 2020 thing or whatever, and you know people need to just. I mean, like we talked about before, I've gone at it with so many of my friends. You know, because not everything's a conspiracy, Bill. And I'm like, well, it's better to ask questions than just sit there and follow blindly, I believe.
I concur.
But people definitely need to wake up to this guy. Look what happened, what the Gates Foundation did to the children in India that they all vaccinated. And that makes me wonder, too, like, you know, Trump's got this good relationship now with India. Is this all a part of it? There's so much, like, behind-the-scenes stuff going on. You know, and if now with Italy doing this, you know, maybe these people will be brought to justice.
Well, you know, I just saw something today where Trump is cutting the funding to the WHO completely.
Yeah.
No more funding.
Because I thought somebody was.
Or maybe like 10, like we're going to give them 10% of what we've been giving them.
Well, that brings me to, did you see the Lindsey Graham interview where he was like Lindsey Graham's talking about, you know, well, I think we should, you know, return some funding to WHO, and I'd rather have somebody, you know, like Bill Gates be like running it.
Lindsey Graham?
Lindsey Graham said it in some... I don't know how old the video was, if it was recent or old or whatever, but it had to be recent. But yeah, you know, I mean, like you said, we said that the deep state runs deep, you know? Lindsey was one of those neocons. You know, he was BFFs with No Name McCain.
Yeah.
You know, so how did they completely flip him? And Q's been warning about sleepers waking up before the election.
They probably threw him a roofie and took pictures of him with some kid they kidnapped from Boys Town.
Yeah. But, you know, although Lindsey, seems like the type of guy that I think would voluntarily not need a roofie, you know.
Oh, you know what? Forgive me. Lindsey Graham.
Yeah.
Okay, I kept thinking of that preacher. What's the preacher?
Billy Graham.
Billy Graham. Yeah, I'm like, his son, okay. Franklin
Graham.
No, yeah, now, what's Lindsey Graham doing?
Lindsey Graham.
What's he all about now?
He's, you know, on that executive thing, too, for this investigation.
And Trump's telling him, come on, let's get it done. Yeah, go to work.
And he's like, not doing it or whatever.
He doesn't want to bring him.
In the interview, he mentions, well, you know, they asked about defunding the WHO. And he's like, well, I think we need, you know, some funding still kept with the WHO, World Health Organization, and somebody like, you know, or have some, you know, let somebody like, you know, Bill Gates, you know,
call the shots, unelected official like Bill
Which
Gates called the shots.
Yeah, yeah, right. Anyway, he's calling the shots for the WHO. Anyway.
I don't know about that, Lindsey Graham. I could see him with little boys.
Yeah. So,
actually, so I could see him going for some like really muscular, well cut up. Super homo dudes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like stripper dudes.
Yeah,
I could see him going for that.
You know, those are somewhere in some of the Epstein videos. You know, they'll eventually get released. We'll see what happens. Who the hell was I with today that was talking? Never mind. I'm getting off. See, my ADD's kicking in. I was having conversations similar to this with my barber today. You know, he's hip to a lot of this stuff. Anyway. We had the Case Western professor. We got Bill Gates. We got, you know, people just need to.
This is an old article we're looking at.
It's from 2014. Some of our friends. I don't know if you know them, but you know, in that industry, that music, local music world or music, whatever, like, you know, imagine being Bill Gates and all you try and do is help people with your billions and your philanthropy and help all these third world countries. And they had all these conspiracy theorists and their, you know, YouTube videos attack them and, you know, pull you down. You know,
that's when you respond, well, I saw the deed. The deed to what?
Mr. Deeds.
His soul.
Yeah.
In which he sold. You know,
but it's like, man, these friggin' bleeding hearts, man.
I love it, man. I love it. You know, like we talked on our last thing. I didn't know who Fauci was. I didn't know who, you know, Trump always puts these people front and center and lets the people in the queues and in everybody out there who is this asshole?
Yeah, because you know? He's been hidden in the background for all these years with all these other presidencies.
Who, Fauci?
Fauci.
Sure, yeah.
So he's been another deep state player in the background.
Right.
So bring him front and center, you know, like Q has said.
Everybody is exposing themselves.
You have to show people.
Yeah.
Like he says, you can't tell them, you have to show them. And they are all exposing themselves. Me and my barber were talking too, like these governors of Michigan and California and all the ones that are so tyrannical with these restrictions are exposing themselves. The people are seeing it, and yet so many still are defending.
Yeah.
You know, that's the part that, like, we got so many of those Karens. You know, I seen people on my Facebook feed, and I guess you're right. I kind of love it, too, because then you know what kind of person they are, and you know what type of the side of the fence they're on. If shit goes to wherever it's going to go, it's like, I know not to trust them or hang out with them.
Yeah, anymore. I'm not going to bring them to the hideout.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, he'll eat all my Hershey bars.
Defend them.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, they're the ones complaining like, oh, my God, there's no social distancing going on at some of the bar patios that recently opened up. Everybody attacked.
I heard our hero Fabio's going through some shit.
Yeah.
Tell me about what you know. I haven't looked into it.
All I know is, you know, just people. Here's the thing. I've seen. There's funny because a picture, they say a picture is worth 1,000 words, but the angle of the picture can tell a different story too, you know? So I saw, you know, the picture, if you look from the side, the way this picture was taken on the patios, it looks like everybody's like, you know, next to each other. And there's just like, oh my gosh, there's no social distancing. How are they letting, they're so greedy. They're letting that many people and everybody, like all the Karens bitching and complaining, ready to narc them out, you know, and call and report them, you know? But then there's an aerial picture that somebody took with a drone or something like that. Dude, they're all fucking spaced out. There's just separate tables. I mean, maybe the one table people are sitting a little close, but the tables are spaced out.
I just hope Fabio's doing okay. I mean, they're not charging him with anything or...
I don't know nothing yet. I just see a bunch of people on social media. They have nothing better to do. The people at the town hall, which is on 25th.
Yeah.
That place, they're attacking that dude. And, like, I guess there's a disgruntled ex-employee that was making some sort of comment and complaining about, and the guy says, this is, it's called freedom. This is America. If you don't like it, go back to your country. And now everybody's like, he's such a racist.
Wait, whatever. Who said that? What are you talking about?
Some manager from town hall or whatever. And it's on social media or whatever, you know.
I can hear like Fabio and him bitching and then laughing afterwards. Yeah, man, why'd you have to say that? Oh, I think it's great.
Yeah.
I just hope Fabio's doing okay, man. I hope they're not trying to.
Yeah, he's married to
Nikki. Nicole. Not our friend Nicole.
No,
but another girl, Nicole.
No, yeah, but I
Freddie and Frank's sister.
Okay,
yeah,
so you knew them. That's right. Yeah, I forgot you knew them because I went to high school with Freddie. Mm-hmm. I graduated with Freddie. We're on the wrestling team together and everything. But yeah, I hope they're doing all right. I feel bad for some of our other friends that own small businesses, like Anna and the Raw. I don't know if you know her, Good to Go Cafe. Mm. You know, there's so many of these restrictions on these people, and they've worked their whole life to live their dream.
That's what pisses me off.
Something together.
These Democrats are willing to destroy small businesses of people that probably represented them.
Yep.
Just to get rid of Trump, dude.
Yep.
That's what it's coming down to. They're destroying people's businesses and livelihoods just to get rid of
Imagine
Trump.
Working your whole life, you know, and they, you know what, with that saying, it's like if you go to work, if you love what you do, you know, it's not really work, you know? You go to every day, you're doing something you're passionate about, you're living your dream, and it's providing for you and your family, you know? That's the American dream right there, and they're friggin' destroying it just to, you know, get Trump. And we know a lot of people that are suffering through this right now.
Did you see the Trump and Maria Bartiromo video?
I see parts of the interview when X22 put.
I watched, and We Know is a good channel on YouTube. They're back up, I think. I think they were taken down. Okay. And We Know. And he plays a good 10 minutes of it, but man, it was a really powerful. Some of the things he said, I can't really recall offhand, but
it was good.
It was good, man. Like, yeah.
But here's the thing. Well, I know I realized attending a rally that there are more of us. I would like to think that they're just the really vocal minority that hate him so much. They're unwilling to watch him speak. Like, you know, anybody, if you didn't watch a whole coronavirus task force video, you know, press briefing, if you didn't watch it start to finish and hear everything that was said, and you're just going off of sound bites that are provided to you by CNN and stuff
right.
like that.
Yeah, you're not going to get it. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's still so many that they hate him so much, they're not willing to sit and listen. And they're the ones that are going to be the hardest ones to. But that's why Q said we can't tell them, you have to show them. So hopefully there's enough people. They claim to be so knowledgeable and high school, college educated and all that stuff. But do you have the wisdom to pay attention and say, well, look, this doesn't make sense. This
one other thing, too, is like, you know, we've talked about this. I would never want to, you know, people wanted to see Trump his head blown off. I would never want to see that to Obama. And I think if I'm trying to be as honest as I can with myself, I used to watch a lot of Obama speeches.
Yeah, and liked them.
Some of them.
Yeah.
But during the end of his term, his last 4 years, it was more of watching him to see what kind of code language he would throw out there. Yeah. Kind of like how Trump is with Q. But in this case, back then in our SPC groups, in our in our global currency groups that study the global currency reset, we thought that he was going to be a part of it as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I've been listening to speeches. I want to hear what they have to say, whether it's a president I don't like or if it's a president I do like.
Exactly. Yeah. From start to finish, not just a soundbite.
And if you watch the latest Bearable Bull, you did not introduce the show this aggressively average content. But the latest Bearable Bull, he really didn't talk about crypto. He talked about Trump, and he's like, look, I used to love Barack Obama. But he's like, you can't deny the information that's starting to come out against the Democrats.
No, you can't. But people are. Here's the thing. There's so much out there. There's so much knowledge out there that you're choosing to be willfully ignorant now.
And this is something else I wanted to say. I talked to our friend Francis today.
Okay.
And I called him this morning because I went on Facebook for the first time in about 4 or 5 days. I try not to go on there. Yeah. So if I don't respond to your messages, that's why. Okay. One of the reasons.
No, I don't.
Second of all, on that partition, on that computer where I only log on to Facebook on, for some reason I haven't figured out the audio. The audio went bad a long time ago, which is why I got this Apple to do the music on. Regardless, I can't hear videos.
Okay, so when I send videos,
yes!
I can't send them there.
Yes.
I send them to your email.
But anyways, okay. I went on this morning and something occurred to me. I kept scrolling down. And scrolling down and scrolling down. And all it was conservative patriot friends of mine posting. That is the first time I've ever seen that.
Yeah.
I'm like, dude, it's time. We're filling the all you post from you, Frank, Phil Wilson down at Momentum 98 in Columbus, other people I know. I mean, and then finally I come across some Commie Pinko shit, but it wasn't even really hardcore Commie Pinko shit.
See, yeah, the problem for me is like, well, especially with my Wilhelm profile, it's all, it's more for the music world, you know, it's more for boondoggle and stuff. So I have to keep, you know, connections with these people. I have to keep relationships with them to do, you know, the interviews and provide the, you know, the stuff that I do. But it's just everybody that's involved in the entertainment, music, whatever, it seems like 99.9% of them are all left-leaning, and it's just like, it's heartbreaking. But I don't, when they post their stuff, I don't attack what they say. I post my own stuff, and then they attack me. You know,
you poor thing.
I know,
you're a victim.
I'm not a victim. I mean, I'm just like, whatever. It what's funny is just like, I can scroll. I have enough, like, I don't like what I read, what they're posting and what they believe, but I just scroll past it and I go about my day. I'm like, my relationship with them means more to me
than getting in an argument with them and losing your friendship,
trying to be right and all this stuff. So I scroll by, but then when I post something, they're on there and it's getting to the point where I'll post whatever, you know, my conservative beliefs and views, and they all start jumping on and attacking, where I'm getting to the point of like, well, then this relationship ain't worth having. If that's how they freaking feel about
God
me,
bless
I'm just
you.
Done.
Bless you know? Your heart, man. Bless your heart. All you can do is pray for him.
I know.
Crazy Bone said. I don't think he said pray for him, but I know he was talked a lot about prayer in that last video.
Yeah,
I really appreciated that, you know.
No, me
to
too.
To think, like, you know, like, you know.
Can't wait till we sit down with him and have a discussion. Because I need, like you just said, I need that reminder where my faith lies. Where does my beliefs lie. Forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. You know?
The video I just mentioned, and we know, at the end, he says, you know, they're taxing my site on YouTube. I can't give you any links to my shop to sell any of my stuff. He says, but you know what? God's in control.
Yeah. And that's the center that I need to remind myself of and remember, because, you know, I mean, there's just some people that I had great relationships with, a woman that I was still keeping in touch with, who I love dearly, recently unfriended me because she just hates Trump so much. But when her husband died and I was close with them, I wrote up a nice thing and they read it at his funeral, and it meant the world to me that she loved me sharing my heart so much that they read it at, you know, so that relationship, you know, mean so much to me. But to see her unfriend me because she doesn't believe in my views hurt, man. That's one of the ones that hurt. There's a lot of other people I could care less if they don't comment, and nobody, they don't, none of them pay my bills.
Can't get, you know, thick skin without getting hurt.
Yep, true, true. Yeah, maybe that's why, you know, I've been having all these heart issues, you know.
Yeah, you're letting it get to you.
My heart, I tried softening my heart to be more loving and caring, but I got to put my armor back on, I guess.
You know, and speaking about our friend Francis, he was mentioning to me this friend of his, this girl friend of his on, and she posted, man, my life is ruined. I can't go out and find a relationship because I got to quarantine and I got to wear a face mask. Our hero, Francis, was typing something.
Yeah.
And he said something like, don't live in fear. And then he clicked something wrong and he didn't pay attention and it posted it. And he left or something. You know how it's easy can walk away or whatever?
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And to get it, and it was posted. And before he could edit it or change it, she had unfriended him.
Wow.
In a matter of minutes. Less than a minute, he said. Yeah.
Yeah. There's one friend that I talked to. She's a local business owner, too. And we just don't follow each other on Facebook because she's like really pink hat and all that stuff, which is great, you know, whatever. I'll leave that out of it. She provides a service that I appreciate, and we have a good relationship. We talk about, you know, I'm like, hey, when's business opening back up?
Yeah, intelligent, you know, is all hell, but just lacks a little bit of wisdom.
Yeah, and she's holding off. She's holding off on opening business again because of, you know, she wants to wait till everything feels safe, and I understand and I respect that, but at the same time, I'm telling her, I'm like, look, you got to, we got to lean on our faith more over fear. Because fear ain't good for our immune system either.
Yeah.
We're all scared and jacked up.
Come up positive on a COVID test with fear.
Yeah, exactly. You know, like the mango or
your
whatever.
Exosome and the pawpaw.
Pawpaw.
Yeah, the pawpaw had to be under stress.
Pawpaw.
Yeah.
The pawpaw and,
the pawpaw and the goat.
Yeah, the pawpaw and the goat. And
it, didn't Michelle like Obama read that story to a bunch of preschoolers?
Pawpaw and the
goat.
The
pawpaw and the goat.
I don't
and Dr.
remember.
Fauci,
that,
yeah.
So that's a code.
Sounds like a the pawpaw and the goat, the new children's story.
But yeah, drag queen.
That
story
would be a
hour.
Good thing to send a cue.
That was
like
drag queen story hour.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know?
The original one.
Right. We should send that to Q and say, "Hey, man, we
pawpaw and the
even
goat."
Do a little.
What country
do a little
was
book
that?
And crayons.
That was in Africa. Was that Nigeria or something?
Something like that.
The
president intentionally did it to see how accurate the tests were.
To because he has critical thinking skills and realize,
yes,
you know,
but they're probably sick of the WHO.
How much? Bill Gates killed half their kids too, probably. So,
or sterilized their baby's mama.
Yeah,
yeah.
But that's something else. That this is other knowledge that people need that aren't aware of because they just depend on the media to tell them, and the media ain't going to tell them.
Yeah,
you know. So that's another thing with those test kits. But anyway, back to her. She. I just said, look, man, we gotta, and our relationship's better because we're not on Facebook. We actually communicate, so you know, that maybe that's just the way. Because there's so much, I don't know, man. I think TDS is a bigger problem in our country than COVID. You know, Trump derangement syndrome.
Have you seen MAGA Hulk?
No.
That big brother out west on the beaches, dude?
No.
I've never seen somebody with arms like that. I mean, he's probably got some of the biggest arms I've ever seen. He's a Trump supporter. He's got his
MAGA Hulk.
And they call him, let me see if I can find him on YouTube. MAGA Hulk, dude.
MAGA Hulk?
Yeah.
Cool. Yeah, so, you know, MAGA Hulk, that was cool. Talked about him. I know we wanted to talk about the doctor in Texas, but really quick, I wanted to say, you know, about my personal story we were talking about earlier. I got a good doctor, very thorough. You know, does a lot of lab work, and after this heart thing, we're just, you know, seeing how the nutrition and the plant based diet and everything's helping turn things around for me. But, you know, she mentioned something with my fibromyalgia, and I got kind of like rheumatoid arthritis. And that's why my joints and
And when you mentioned that to me, I immediately turned to you and said hydroxychloroquine's good for that.
Yep. So, and I didn't know that. So, because...
Well, you knew what, that.
Well,
you
knew that. Well, here's the
thing. You knew that when you came over and you started telling me.
I knew that when
I came
over,
right.
That's what. But originally when she told me, you know, about, you know, this, my joints and arthritis and all that stuff. Uh-oh, what do we got here?
The alarm went off.
Yeah, yeah. We'll pause. All right.
Dogs got us.
Interrupted by the dog alarm. You know, she'd mentioned asking me if my joints, you know, were hurting and everything like that. Your dogs are like the co-hosts.
Oh, she'll go for a moment here. She'll just drink about half that bowl right now. Yeah,
dehydrated or something over there.
Let's get the sound effects.
Yeah, hopefully our virtual audience is lapping all this up as well. Yeah.
Boy, she really... You done? Oh,
you
now she's going to slobber on your leg, dude.
Oh, yeah. Great.
Come here, you can slobber. Oh,
today.
There she goes. She got
my
you on your shorts.
My cami shorts. You know, my militia shorts here.
So anyways, hydroxychloroquine. I turned to you explaining this to me. I said,
I decided to do a little bit of research on like, okay, well, what's good for this? Because I do, you know, I just, you know, figure no pain, no gain, and I'll just be hurting, and that's my new normal.
Yeah.
To be in pain all the time. And when I seen that, I was like, okay, is this my back door to be able to get some of this, you know, in case or whatever? You know, maybe it would help with my joints. But because, I don't know, it says, you know, on the research I did that there could be side effects with heart issues. So that's my only caution. I'm going to look into it because it wouldn't hurt to, especially now, because then we get into our story with the Texas doctor,
yeah,
you know, and how... She's prescribing it for her patients that have COVID symptoms. It's been successful. There's many doctors that are coming out saying how it's been successful.
Most prescribed pill in France, like last week, one day, or it was like 5,000 prescriptions.
A comeback in healing, which, you know, means it's you wouldn't need a vaccination for one. But even the pharmacies are like saying, well, why are you prescribing this? We're not going to fill this. They were giving her some pushback in Texas, right?
That's right, yeah. Yeah, giving this poor lady doctor pushback.
She had to tell them,
that's a patient-doctor privilege. You don't need that.
You don't need to know their diagnosis.
All you got to do is be like the county clerk and file what I brought down for you to file. You're not supposed to question it. You're supposed to do your job and put it on the file.
Exactly. And your job is to fill this prescription.
Fill the prescription.
I'm the doctor that's writing this for my patient.
Right.
So I guess there was a lot, you know, I mean, it just shows like how bad how deep the deep state goes, I guess, basically, that if we're going to, everybody's trying to put roadblocks up to prevent, you know, these things coming out. And now just popped up while we were sitting here talking in the news that I guess Trump admitted today. He's been taking it, huh? And he's been on it.
Yeah.
Because they're all on him about a mask and all this other stuff. You know, and he's like, well, I've been on it for a while. And so far, so good. I've had no side effects. I feel good. You know? Well, gee, that would throw a wrench in the whole, like, everybody needs to be vaccinated for this thing.
That's what Dave from X22 has been saying the whole time.
Yep.
Months ago, he's saying, look, dude, hydroxychloroquine is the thing. And I didn't realize this, but back in 2018 or 2017, when Q was posting about all these cheap cures, there's cures for cancer. One of the things he tweeted about or he posted, Q, was about hydroxychloroquine.
Yeah.
And now it was posted around the same month and the same days that this started, you know, around the same time of year. Future proves past.
Yeah. And then I think there was something with a woman that took it that Trump met with. And it helped her Lyme disease.
Well, that was the
too, right?
the local like congresswoman in the state of Michigan. She was out of Detroit, I believe.
Yeah, and she's a Democrat.
Yes, that's true. And she actually met with Trump, and she was shunned by the local other Democrats. I think they barred her from the. I don't remember. Don't quote me on it.
She's
but they
blacklisted now, basically. Right?
She was voted in, and they threw her out. I believe.
And they're to thank him how her life has never been better now that she's taken that.
Right.
It's just amazing how crooked.
Well, listen, the people you know, are out there. I've known of you know, there I go again with that. You know, we were talking about how I have been involved in alternative healing for years because of meeting my friend Jimmy, who I got involved with the water business, being involved with the health food store. Most of our customers, most of my customers right now are health freaks.
Yeah.
They want the purest water commercially available. And there's hundreds of natural, we know this, there's tons of natural remedies that aren't promoted. There's no money behind it. You know, that guy that my friend Charmaine out of Toledo worked with, this gentleman down in Miami, he was curing AIDS patients with ozone. It was called the polyatomic ephesis machine. He would sit on a chair, a nice, comfortable lawn chair type thing, and they would draw blood out of one arm and run it through ozone and then put it back in your other arm. And after like 14, 15 treatments, he was getting AIDS positive, AIDS negative. And another thing that Charmaine told me, which was very interesting, in working with the AIDS patient, because this was down back in the late 80s when the whole AIDS thing came out in the early 90s, right? Yeah. Or late 90s.
Yeah.
And when was the AIDS? It was right when I got out of high school. It was like 88 in the early 90s. Yeah, yes. She says they were curing a bunch of AIDS patients with ozone. She says one of the things that happened when they detoxed is a lot of these gay men turn heterosexual.
Really?
Yes.
Really?
Yep. Got all the chemicals out of them.
Wow.
Yeah.
This is going to be that comment right there is definitely going to be
very interesting.
Upsetting to people out there, I'm sure.
And it made a lot. She says a lot of the guys got pissed.
Yeah.
That they weren't homos anymore. That they weren't cornholers anymore.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah.
But, you know, going back to the alternative medicines. It's
there you go. You said, you know.
They get buried. How they get buried.
Yeah, they get buried. There's no money behind it. There's that was no one of the things there. I got in an argument with my one cousin who thinks she knows everything.
Insurance won't cover it like we talked about in the other episode.
That's right.
The doctor
that I
see was suggesting heavy metal chelation therapy for me to help reverse my heart disease.
Yes.
I have to pay out of pocket.
Yes.
It's not cheap.
No.
You know, and it's not really... From what I understand, too, from the doctors, it's the suppliers have raised the prices on the stuff. So they just for them to make a little bit of a profit, they got to cover their costs. And then
they got to make profit to pay their bills.
So that's why it costs so much, unfortunately. And they make it near impossible for us to find and utilize cures because they want clients.
That's right.
The big pharmaceutical companies keep us as clients.
It's really a shame. Let me tell you another story. My friend Jim, speaking of my friend Jim, he's up in New York in the Hamptons selling water systems, installing water systems for the ultra elite. I won't get into his customer base. I could sell his Rolodex for probably $250,000.
Yeah.
He's got two customers. He's become friends with both. That's what he does with a lot of his customers. They're both doctors. One of them is on the front lines dealing with COVID at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City. The other one is a female. She runs her own alternative clinic. And she's been telling my buddy Jimmy for months now since this started, the flu, influenza, pneumonia, all that's bullshit, COVID. I have patients coming into my office that can't walk. They have to be carried in. And within 4 hours of intravenous vitamin C, I think we talked about this, whammo, they're fine. So he tells this to his other doctor customer at Mount Sinai. The guy at Mount Sinai doesn't believe it, even though he's told his patients privately to take oral vitamin C up to 20,000 milligrams a day. So he goes to, he says, I'll go meet this doctor if you think I should meet her. He goes to, he says, I don't have time though. I got to do so. Ended up spending 3 hours with the doctor and has now opened up his own alternative clinic doing the same thing this doctor's doing. Yeah.
Here's the thing too, is like, you know, people that get in to be a doctor, there's a lot of money and stuff like that, or get into any kind of medical thing. They get in with pure intentions. They get in with a
just
heart
like being an attorney.
Yeah.
Probably want to help people.
Yeah. But it's like the pharmaceutical companies are on the boards of the education for the doctors, too. So what they're being taught, they're only practicing what they've been taught. And if it's you hard do, for them yeah. to realize they've been taught a
right.
lie.
If you do the research,
too.
They're not taught nutrition. That's part no. not of their not part of their courses. If they do, they'll maybe
probably
get
one semester.
Yeah, 2 hours of something.
Yeah.
And I've read a lot of articles on this. A lot of these universities, a lot of these doctors, a lot of these students, they all get some type of kickback in one way, shape, form, or another to keep pushing these drugs.
China's not the only one invading our colleges and places of higher education,
yeah.
man. You know, big pharmaceutical, basically. And since everything's been being made over in China now, too, so I guess it's one in the same.
Well, have you heard about the two manufacturing facilities in this country that could only make certain things that could
magnesium.
Make certain... Yeah,
and
something
they've been
about... They've been blew up!
Yeah, what's that? Some domestic terrorism?
Asymmetrical warfare, dude. We're in World War... We've had a hot World War III since Trump jumped into office.
Yep.
Said Colin, said, nope!
Yep. I mean, I guess that's one thing they say. Oh, we're going to be in World War. Well, I guess we are.
Well, we are.
We are.
We are.
So you got that right.
Look at all the flexing.
It's not Trump's fault. They'd rather go back to slavery by somebody that smiles and shakes their hand and tells them what they want to hear.
You got a lot of the world's navy in the Chinese Sea, over there right now doing all sorts of drills, man. We're in their face right now.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's just incredible, man. It's like, so that way, you know, I mean, I talked to some doctors. You know, that are go to my church and stuff. And it's just like, you can't convince them otherwise because it's that cognitive dissonance. This is what I've been taught. I know my heart is pure and this is what I'm trying to do. And I'm only doing what I'm told. I've sat in doctor's offices when the finely dressed female comes in with her briefcase. And next thing I know, she's leaving pamphlets of prescription drugs.
Yeah.
All over the
she's
place.
She's the one that
and
does.
Like, oh, we
yeah.
got some samples for you. Try this. This will be good for
I've
you.
Heard things you know? That
legal
some of
dealers.
These women are actually prostitutes.
Yeah.
Yes. I've heard that.
Oh, that is taking a turn.
Yes. Yes, dude.
So they sleep with the doctors too to get them hooked on.
I don't know. In order to make a sale here and there.
Wow. All right, well, I'm going to get me a lab coat and
yeah.
just hang out in the parking lot.
Now, that's a big statement. I know that's a big statement, but, you know, I hear these things.
I mean, technically, you know, if you're selling something, you're prostituting something. If it's something that's not morally really good for people, but you're making a...
Brian says, I'm prostituting myself going to work.
Yeah, yeah. I guess so. You know, we're prostituting ourselves right now trying to get listeners for the Boondoggle.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
so. But, yeah, so I don't know, man. Did we talk about the Michigan governor? Did we talk about, I mean, we've kind of gone on that. But
that's
oh, yeah,
another thing. It's another, all these commie pinkos have stuck their head out of the mole hole, man.
I mean, she's not bad looking, you know, but, you know, I could see her like,
they
my
had
boots.
To have been promised something.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, in order to keep this up, to risk their whole career
to
like
see
this.
See that dude that owned the music shop in tears, doing what he loved, teaching music to kids, running his music shop for years, and he's now it's done because he can't open. It's a small business. He's got no help.
I didn't see this. I'm not hip
yeah.
to this.
Yeah, similar to the barber, the gentleman.
And then they fine him.
She revoked his license.
Yeah.
He's like, look, this is. I've been doing this. This is my livelihood. This
that
is how
shit
I
is going to make him. He's going to be a hero in the end.
Oh, yeah.
And she's going to
from what
look
I read,
so bad.
He's still cutting hair, even
right.
without his license. He's
yeah.
defying,
yeah.
you know, and
good
people are
him.
Supporting him. People
yeah.
are coming out and supporting him. So, you know, we'll see, man. I think.
How much money did you pay for the
bar's going to have to get involved.
Yeah. Bars?
The attorney general.
Oh.
William Barr.
Yeah, all these situations.
Yeah.
I mean,
these, like you said, these we can't tell people. We have to show them. And these deep state people are exposing themselves, you know?
How about Judge Sullivan with the Flynn case?
Yeah.
Wanting to have this other commie pinko judge from the Obama era come in and do an amicus curiae or whatever, when a week prior to him asking to do that, the Supreme Court came out with some type of ruling barring amicus curiae in most cases because... It should just go to an appellate court and shit like that.
Yes.
This judge has lost his freaking mind.
And here's the other thing. You were talking about codes, you know, being transmitted through speeches. Just before this judge came out to do that, freaking Obama made a call or something, and they got the audio file of his call. Like, you know, he's saying this is he dropped some sort of, I forget what the hell his words were. I hate my freaking brain when it draws a blank like this, but he said something, too much freaking head trauma. But he said something about perjuring, you know, Flynn perjured himself.
He wasn't on trial for perjury.
Or whatever.
Yeah.
And then it was basically the code to his judge buddy to file
to do
this,
that. Yeah, I know what you're
talking
about.
Because once this guy is exonerated and loose, he knows where all the bodies are buried.
Yeah.
And their days are freaking numbered.
Yeah.
They're just throwing another like little speed bump in there to prolong this shit. But it's like, dude, you know, man, it makes me sick. But who's paying?
Just another boondoggle.
Yeah, it's just another boondoggle.
Dog and pony show.
Yep. So I don't know, man. I think was there something else you wanted to talk about? We've covered quite a bit.
We have today. Covered quite a bit. I feel awfully deflated.
Yeah, we've introduced, you know, the Monday Night Jack special editions that will be forthcoming. So I think we could probably end it right here, man. And go about our lives.
Sweet.
All right. All right.
See
man.
You later, virtual audience.
Bye.
Another good one. Hello, and thanks for listening to today's Boondoggle. And now, for your listening pleasure, Florence Whitingale presents his latest epoch.
Always looking for something to stick in like Houdini. It always got a new trick. I'm like a man with two brains, a lust-filled roller coaster, yin and yang. It wants to creep inside like a moray eel. I'll give you $50 just to cop a feel. You can be its extra value meal, because me dick thinks you got sex appeal. My dick's got appetites, and it's got them in large amounts. It's got them where it counts. Yeah, my dick's got appetites. I said that my dick's got appetites. Got them in large amounts, it's got them where it counts. Ooh, my dick's got appetites. So let me speak about the appetites my dick got. It likes to bump up against the G-spots, and then the bitches get real hot. A natural addiction, just like pot. And it's big, fat, and hollow. And it likes it when the bitches swallow. And just like a swallow going back to Capistrano, if I free it, then eventually the rest of me will follow. I can't take it anywhere without it freaking. 90 degrees is how it's peaking. My dick can knock you out your box. It's like a Swiss cat, it'll fix your clock. It's like a freight train, my dick can't stop. And just like my clock, my dick goes pop. And the next thing you know, my dick is in your house. And the next thing you know, my dick is in your mouth. And so you moan and you groan and you roll your eyes. And you know, to me, it's no surprise that we were both compromised by the wills and needs of my dick. And now it's blowing up like Mount Etna. Bitch, ain't you glad it met ya? The missing link between the birds and the bees. A member of my body that you got to appease. My dick's got appetites, and it's got them in large amounts. It's got them where it counts. Yeah, my dick's got appetites. I said that my dick's got appetites. And it's got them in large amounts. It's got them where it counts. My to you the way my dick do it. You see, my dick is high tech, high touch, especially up in them guts. And it demands more than 33 flavors. It eats ice pussy like cherry lifesavers. And here's something you'll savor: the salty flavor of my dick upon your lips, the way that it slides between your tits, the way that it motivates your hips. You see, my dick's a 9-inch dental pick that all them bitches just love to grip. And with a diameter 2 inches across, yeah, my dick, it likes to play ring toss. And because my dick be doing all the pushing, it leaves them bitches looking like a pincushion. Don't be afraid, my dick is not dangerous. However, it's very polyamorous. It's hard to catch, understand, and dictate, yo, bitch. My cock is on vibrate. My cock is on vibrate. It's got them where it counts, yeah. And my dick's got appetites. I said that my dick's got appetites. And it's got them in large amounts. It's got them where it counts, yeah. My dick's got appetites.
And you know you want more, and coming soon you can find it
at theflowwhiteshow.com. But for now, feel the flow. Exclusively here on today's Boondoggle. Brought to you by today's Boondoggle.
It's like an oak table.
Just don't dot the eye.
Both eyes.
Blue cheese, ranch, or celery?
Blue cheese and celery, please.
I feel an earthquake.
Maybe look at that.
I didn't want to get anything with like all the breading stuff.
Something. Or something too?
Yeah, I need more paper.
Yeah, can I get a mushroom and onion rings?
Needs more paper. What part do you need?
She's got a memory.
Oh, God.
I got to get rid of something if I'm going to, you know.
Here's compensation.
Here's my bread.
Yeah.
It was partly, right? Every year I was going to Florida, I was gaining 5, 6, 7 pounds.
I know that feels.
Every year. Well, it kept getting bigger and bigger. Yeah. I'm like, fuck, man, I got to do something, man.
Catches up.
Yes, it does. It's okay for 2 years, and then, like, year 4 or 5, you're like, fuck,
down in Florida, all I'm doing is golfing, fishing, and drinking every single day.
Older you get, the harder it is.
All my buddies drinking everything.
Yeah.
So I cut out all the bread.
Yeah, when you're out drinking, you're eating bar food. Usually,
right. Absolutely. But if I cut out all bread and cut out all that kind of food.
Is there wings?
Chicken tenders?
So I thought I read that there was no wings tonight.
I'm in.
She brought them? All right, good. Then I want to get wings.
I didn't eat no bread or anything down there. I drank my ass off with the guys on. Didn't gain, didn't lose.
I guess
stayed the same. I'm like, okay, I'm on the
right
track.
Sounds like a win here.
I might be able to lose a pound if I gave up something. So.
Ranch, celery, blue cheese.
Blue cheese.
So I tried doing it up here since August, and I did lose like 15 pounds since August.
Yeah, the problem with going
now
like.
I've hit like a stop.
Yeah.
It's not going anywhere.
Yeah.
The problem with doing no bread. As soon as you start up again, it comes right back.
Yeah.
I can't go no bread.
I'm good with no bread.
It's tough.
But
bread.
It's hard
man,
because
I
like
love bread,
bread and
I love pasta.
Fresh bread,
yeah.
Ranch.
You get hot Italian bread.
Thank you for tuning into this week's edition of today's Boondoggle. Domain Cleveland Entertainment is a veteran-owned and operated entertainment cornucopia of nonsensical shenanigans. You can find interesting interviews, music news, entertainment information, and just about everything else in between. Thank you again for tuning into the show here at Domain Cleveland.